While I was preparing for this homily, one of the thoughts that came to mind was that of a river. And if we imagine for ourselves what a river is like, we would notice some certain properties of it. We notice that the water is flowing towards a destination. And if we look upon the river, there seems to be some kind of majesty or beauty to it. If we think about a river, we also might recognize how it can be very life-giving, how the water from the river can be redirected towards cities and used in our homes, how the river water can be sent into fields and bring about growth for the plants. And so the river can be very good. And yet, the river can sometimes turn into something else. The river has the river banks holding it on its course, allowing it to be as beautiful, majestic, and life-giving as it is. But what if one of those river banks just kind of broke and allowed the water to go wherever? Well, then we would have a kind of flooding. And instead of flowing towards its destination, the water would start to gather up and become stagnant. Instead of being a river, it would become a swamp. And there'd be destruction and chaos. And the stagnant waters of swamps can oftentimes be sources of disease. And so, in some ways, we can be like these rivers. God designed us to be beautiful, majestic, life-giving, on our course towards heaven. And we have riverbanks, things to help us stay on that course. And those are the commandments. They help us to be what we ought to be, good, faithful Christians. But when we violate the commandments, when we break them, it's like bursting that riverbank. And then the water's no longer on course. And then there's chaos, destruction, stagnant, possibilities of different kinds of diseases and uncomfort. In our first reading, we hear about the Ten Commandments. We are given these instructions. Everything God tells us to do is for our own benefit, to help us on our way to heaven, to help us to have a life of joy. The first three commandments are directly related to our relationship with God. They tell us about how we are to interact with Him. The remaining seven commandments tell us how we are to interact with each other. But if we think about those remaining seven, somehow, some way, it's also about our relationship with God. Jesus Christ Himself said to us, "Whatever you do to the least of my people, that you do unto me." And so, how we interact with each other affects our relationship with God as well. So all the commandments, in some way, directly or indirectly, are about our relationship with God. And we should take that relationship seriously to make sure it's a good relationship. By being in good relationship with God now, by having friendship with Him here on earth, we can be with Him forever in heaven. And that's what He desires. But we get to make our own choices and decide what we want to do. And sometimes we choose to do things that are contrary to God's instructions. But we are called to be zealous, to live out the faith, and to seek holiness. We have an example of this kind of zeal in Jesus Christ Himself in our gospel passage. We hear about how Jesus went to the temple and how He saw that there were money changers and oxen and sheep being sold. And that's supposed to be a place of prayer. You should be able to go to the temple to pray. I mean, imagine if something like that was done here at Ascension in our church. If we had money changers and oxen and sheep here kind of mingled in the pews, you couldn't really pray in that situation. Jesus, seeing the problem, was very zealous to set things right again. And so He threw out all of these money changers and oxen and sheep and made them leave so that the temple can be a place of prayer once again. We too are temples. By our baptism, we become temples of the Holy Spirit. God resides within us. We too are supposed to be vessels of prayer in relationship with God. But sometimes we allow the things of the world, sometimes we allow other concerns to kind of clutter our lives, clutter our souls. And we need to be zealous like Jesus to cast all of those things out, to set things right again. to be on that course again towards heaven. And so it's important for us to be zealous about holiness and seeking that goal of heaven. But when we're not zealous, when we choose to do things that are contrary to the commandments God gave us, it's like that river that is our life has that riverbank of the commandment break or burst. And our souls, our lives, our spiritual life becomes like that of a swamp. And the Lord doesn't want us to be swamps. He wants us to be those beautiful, majestic, life-giving rivers on our way to heaven. There are some sins that are so bad that it does burst that riverbank. It stops us on our course. It prevents us from having that relationship with God. From the moment of our baptisms, we are filled with sanctifying grace. That allows us to be with God in heaven. But should we sin seriously, we can lose that. And we can have it restored, though. God gave us grace for that as well. If we have our spiritual lives die, if our relationship with God is destroyed, the kind of sin that does that is called mortal sin. Mortal in the sense of death, that our spiritual lives have come to an end. But there are three conditions that must be met in order for something to be a mortal sin. The first one is the sin itself has to be very serious. If it's something small, it's not going to be a mortal sin. So for example, if we tell a white lie just to avoid an awkward conversation, that's a small thing. It's still wrong, we shouldn't lie at all, but it's not going to destroy our relationship with God. But if we told a humongous lie that makes a huge difference, for example, if we're in court and we lie about what happened so that somebody ends up in prison for the rest of their lives, that's pretty serious. That could be a mortal sin. But there are two other criteria as well. One of them is we have to know what we're doing is seriously wrong. We have to know how bad it is or have some sense of it being seriously wrong. If we don't know that before we commit the sin, it can't be mortal because we didn't realize how bad it was. We didn't realize how serious it was. And the third condition is we have to choose it freely, knowing that it is wrong, that it is seriously wrong. So if somebody is under pressure, if somebody's being forced, if someone's life is being threatened, and they know that it is seriously wrong to do whatever, but they do it anyway out of fear, they're not free to make that choice. And so it wouldn't be a mortal sin. It would still be unfortunate, it would still be terrible, but it's not freely chosen. And so for mortal sin, we have to have those three criteria. It has to be serious, we have to know that it's serious, and we have to choose it freely. Otherwise, it would be a lesser sin. Otherwise, it would be venial sin, something smaller, something that would perhaps weaken our relationship with God, but not destroy it. And we are blessed, though, because should we even choose to commit a sin that's so bad that we lose our relationship with God, God so wants us to be with him that he gives us an opportunity to return. He offers to us that grace to be restored in relationship with him in the sacrament of reconciliation. One of the reasons why I like that title for that sacrament is because it focuses on that relationship. We're being reconciled with God the Father. We're being reconciled because of the great gift that God the Son made of himself on the cross, winning for us that grace to be with God the Father in heaven. And that grace is applied to us in the sacrament of reconciliation. So yes, we do confess our sins in that sacrament, and that's why it's also called the sacrament of confession. But it's about restoring that relationship. And so that's why it can be called the sacrament of reconciliation. We confess our sins to God through the priest, and through the priest, God responds with mercy, with grace, with forgiveness. And we have confidence that we are forgiven. When we hear God say through the lips of the priest, "I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," then we know that we who came and presented our sins with true sorrow are actually really, truly forgiven. And that relationship with God is restored. And so we are blessed to have that opportunity, that sacrament, that grace to be offered to us. But even before we go into the confessional, it's important for us to know what we are going to hand over to God. What are we going to share to Him, to let go of, so that that relationship with God can be restored? It's important for us to examine our consciences, to ask ourselves those questions, so that we know what we need to confess. There are many resources to help us with that. On our website, we have an examination of conscience available under our guide to confession. If you're tech savvy, on the My Parish app, which you can have on your phone, there's a tool there for confession. It has the opportunity for an examination of conscience there. One of the nice things about that tool is you can actually put a little check mark, click a box next to the sins, and then you can tap a button and it'll just list only the ones that you selected. So that way when you walk in, you don't have to keep looking through a whole list. You just go through it once and you have all of them prepared for you. Of course, you would want to clear that afterwards, but it can be a helpful tool so that when you're in the confessional, you know which sins to confess. We also have pamphlets near the front entrance that explain how to go to confession, as well as a brief examination of conscience. And near the main entrances, we also have a little booklet. This one goes into a little bit more detail, and it divides out the different questions based upon the Ten Commandments, which we heard in our first reading, but also based upon the type of sin. So it has a section on mortal sin. What are those things that are bad enough that it can destroy that relationship with God? But it has a section on venial sin. So what are those things that will weaken but not destroy that relationship? And it even has a section on imperfections, which aren't actually sins, but things that can slow us down on our journey to heaven. And so that booklet can be very helpful for someone who wants to dive a little deeper into their examination so that they know what they can hand over to God. When it comes to confession, we need to surrender to the Lord all of our mortal sins. We can't hold on to any of them. I mean, imagine if you were holding something in your hands and someone wanted to give you something. Well, your hands are occupied, so you can't receive it. Likewise, when it comes to sin, when it comes to mortal sins, if we cling to those with our souls, we're not open to receiving God's mercy and forgiveness. And so we have to hand it all over to Him. We have to confess all of our mortal sins so that we're able to receive that mercy and forgiveness of God. And when it comes to mortal sins, it's important for us to name what kind of sin it is and how many times we've done it. And if we're not exactly sure how many times, to give a best estimate that we can have. Sometimes it's easier to give a frequency, however many times a week it might have occurred. So it's important for us to make a good confession, to be set back on course, to have that riverbank of our souls reset so that the water can flow as it was intended, so that we can reach that destination of heaven. And so it's important for us to plan to go to confession. Even if we don't have any mortal sins, even if all our sins are only small, it's nice to even have that handed over to God to receive His grace. Venial sins are kind of like wearing away or weakening those riverbanks. It can set us up for a worse sin. But if we receive His mercy and grace, we can have that reduced or weakened riverbank restored to set us and keep us back on course. We offer confessions here at Ascension at 7:30 a.m. before the 8 a.m. Mass, Monday through Saturday. And then we also have confessions regularly available on Saturdays at 4 p.m., prior to the 5 p.m. Mass. During our Lenten season, the first couple days of Holy Week, Monday and Tuesday of Holy Week, at 7 p.m., we have special parish confessions available so that anyone who can't make those other times that we have confession can hopefully make it during those times, Monday and Tuesday at 7 p.m. during Holy Week. We'll also have guest priests from other parishes to help us to make sure that everybody who comes can have their confessions heard. Plus, for some people, it might be, you know, a little less embarrassing or scary, because if you talk to a priest you don't typically see, then you don't have to worry what he thinks. And if you go behind the screen, he's not going to see you anyway. So if there may be some hesitation to go to one of the resident priests, we will have guest priests available to hear your confession. So let us take a moment to consider how we are going to prepare ourselves how we are going to get ready for receiving that love and mercy that awaits us in the sacrament of reconciliation, to choose a time and a date, to choose an examination of conscience, to be well prepared, to be refreshed and ready for the joy that comes at Easter. And let us consider that as we prepare to meet our Lord Jesus Christ in the most holy Eucharist.